John's Gospel, chapter 15, and beginning at verse 21 of the chapter. Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word again. I wonder if we could turn for another scripture reading this evening to the Song of Solomon and to chapter 8 of the Song of Solomon. And we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter, Solomon's Song, chapter 8, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Just there before the book of Isaiah, for the prophets there, you have the Song of Solomon. That's the last chapter of the book. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and beginning at verse 1. O that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breast of my mother, when I should find thee without, I would kiss thee, yea, I would not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine, of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up nor awake my love until he please. Who is this that cometh from the wilderness, leading upon her beloved? I raise thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned. We have a little sister, and she hath no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with the boards of cedar. I am a wall, and my breast like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal-Hamon. He let out the vineyard unto the keepers. Every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof, 200. Thou dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Now I'm going to take the first part of verse 5 as my text this evening. It's a question: who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, as we come to thee afresh, we humbly bow at thy feet and we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for these great pictures that we have of the love of the Saviour for his people. And we thank thee, our God, that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love. We thank thee that that love will never come to an end. And we thank thee that it will be the same, undimmed, throughout the ages of eternity.
And our God, we rejoice in that love to our hearts. And our God, as we look at the picture tonight that is depicted for us in thy word, we pray, our God, that thou wouldst encourage thy people and save the lost. We thank thee that thou art able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by thee. And we just ask thee that thou wouldst come and shut us in with thyself tonight and pour out thy blessing upon us, even as we consider thy word. Draw near to us and bless and be with us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, there are many pictures in the Bible of the mystical union that there is between the Lord Jesus Christ and the believer or his church or his people. In John chapter 15, for example, there is the picture of the vine and the branches. And the Lord says, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. And just as a branch that is connected to the vine is fruitful, and a branch that is not connected to the vine is dried and withered and dead, so it is with the believer. The believer who is alive has to be attached to the vine. He has to be attached, or she has to be attached to Christ. On another occasion, Peter called to mind the picture of Christ being the chief cornerstone or the foundation stones, and believers are likened then to lively stones that are built upon the foundation. And again, you have the thought that Christ is foundational, literally there, but he is the foundation. We have to be built upon him. Unless we're built upon Christ, then we have nothing. There are a lot of people that want to build upon their church relationship or upon their affiliation to some denomination or whatever it is, or they want to build upon their good works or their thought of their good works or the respectability. But the Bible makes clear that unless you're built upon the foundation of Christ, then you perish. And of course, there are many pictures in the Word of God. In John 5, there's the picture of the husband and the wife. Christ is the husband, and the people of God are like the wife. And then in Ephesians 4, there is the picture of the head and the body. But perhaps the most common representation in the scriptures, and really you have it again in Ephesians 5, one of the ones that we mentioned, but it is the picture of the bride and the bridegroom. In Revelation chapter 21, John bid the people to come and to behold the church. And he says, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And of course, the bride, the Lamb's wife, is the church. It is the people of God. And the Lord there is compared to the bridegroom. It is the same picture here that we have in the Song of Solomon. And all through the Song of Solomon, we have the searching of the bridegroom for the bride, and how the bride she rejects the bridegroom and then is mistreated, and eventually she's brought into contact with her bridegroom. And of course, when that happens, there is that most wonderful union that is depicted, and we have the picture of love here between Christ and his church, between Christ and his people. And we have this beautiful love story here that is depicted for us. Now we come to the end of the book where we have this love story, and the marriage has taken place between the Solomon really and the Shulamite, between the bridegroom who is Christ and his bride. And now we have the picture of the bride being brought home by her bridegroom. And as the bridegroom brings his bride home, the question is asked by the maidens in Jerusalem, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Now here is the picture of Christ bringing up his people. And it is a wonderful picture of what Christ is to his people. Now, it's a wonderful picture to every child of God. But if you're not saved in this meeting, it is a vital picture, because you need to be one of those that the Lord is bringing out of the wilderness. If you are not brought out of the wilderness, then you perish in the wilderness and you languish in the wilderness of this world. God has to bring you out of that place, and you have to be delivered by his grace and by his power. And so tonight, for a few minutes, I just want to think about this wonderful picture of the Lord as the bridegroom here, bringing his bride up out of the wilderness. And we want to think about this question: who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? And there are a number of things about this one that is coming out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved, that I want you to see for a few minutes in our meeting tonight. And the first thing that I want you to see about this one who comes out of the wilderness is her origination, where she comes from. She's coming from the wilderness. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? She's down in the wilderness. She's coming up. There is an ascent here, but she's coming up out of the wilderness. And the bridegroom is conducting the bride. He's bringing her home. And there's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here, as we say, bringing his people out of the privation and desolation of the wilderness. But let's think about this picture here of the wilderness and coming out of the wilderness. And I want us to think about that, and we'll discover some wonderful truths here in the scriptures that we think about this thought about coming out of the wilderness, God bringing his people out of the wilderness. We're down in the wilderness of sin and desolation, but Christ is bringing us up out of the wilderness. If you're saved today, you can rejoice in that. But if you're not saved, as I say, then you're languishing in the wilderness. You need one to bring you out. But I want you to think about the wilderness. What is the wilderness? Well, as we look at the wilderness in the Word of God, it's a place of wandering. Have any knowledge of the Word of God, if you think about the wilderness, perhaps the first thing that'll come to your mind is the wandering of the children of Israel in the wilderness. You remember how for 40 years after they came out of the land of Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness. And you remember how the 12 spies were sent in, and how there were 10 that were faithless and 2 that were faithful, and there were 2 that only brought back the good report, and then there were 10 that brought back a report of unbelief. And as a result of their unbelief, the wandering that they did in the wilderness was extended. It was a chastisement that they had to wander in the wilderness. It was a punishment from God because of their unbelief that they had to wander in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, you'll remember how that they often murmured. They murmured against Moses and they murmured against God because there was a lack of water in the wilderness and there was a lack of food in the wilderness, and God provided them manna and God provided them water out of the rock. But even the things that God provided them, they got weary of that, and they began to long for the leeks and garlics of Egypt. But you think of this harsh environment, the sun beating down, this place where there's little vegetation, where there's little shelter, where there is little to satisfy their needs. They're just looking out in a barren landscape. It's all the same everywhere they look. Maybe there are hills up there that break up the landscape a little bit, but as far as any greenery is concerned, there's very little of that. It's just a barren wilderness. And you think of the world in which we live. Isn't it a place of barrenness? And it's a place of wandering. So many people wander today in this world. You know, it was said about man in the book of Job. It says of man that he taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. And that's a great description of people in this day and generation. They're wandering in a wilderness where there is no way. Now you say to me, but preacher, I do have a way. I've ambitions for myself. I have a plan for myself. I know where I'm going, and I know what I want in life, and I want a good standard of living, and I want a car, and I want a house, and I want a family, and I want to have a life of happiness, and so on and so forth. And it's good to have ambitions and a way to go. But you know, there are many people that have followed the life of materialism like you have planned for yourself. And it's good to have a family, and it's good to have these things. I'm not in any way despising those things. It's good if you are blessed to have those things. But if that's all that you have, you see, there are many people, and that's all that they've had as a desire. That's all that they've had as a plan. And when they got the things that they were looking for, they found that those things didn't satisfy. And all the time that they'd been wandering, and really at the end of their day, they've looked back on their lives and really didn't amount to, they've got these possessions. But what does it mean? What does it really give them? There's no satisfaction there. You see, the world in which we live is a place of wandering. There's no satisfaction outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're wandering today. You know, in the days of Jeremiah, the Lord described the people like this in Jeremiah 14 and 10. He said, "Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins." And the thing about the wandering of many people is that it brings them into the path of sin. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of his own. But we've gone astray. And I wonder tonight, will you own up to that? Will you see that? That wandering your own path, going and doing your own thing, it'll not satisfy, it'll not bring peace, it'll not bring blessing to your heart at the end of the day. And maybe you've wandered into the way of sin. And you know, the Bible says in Jude about the apostates of the last day, that they are wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Are you wandering tonight? Wandering, not on a path that is leading you anywhere other than to destruction. Not only is the wilderness a place of wandering, but it's a place of want. As we say, there's little food in the wilderness. There's very little vegetation in the wilderness. And you remember how the children of Israel many times cried out for lack of food, and God provided them food, and they had to have a miraculous supply. They had to have angels' food. They had to have manna sent to them, because naturally speaking, there was no food for them in the wilderness. If God hadn't helped them, then they would have perished, every one of them, in the wilderness. Again, we read of David when he had to flee into the wilderness. During the rebellion of Absalom, he said, "The people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." Dear friend, are you in want tonight outside of Christ? Has your soul been satisfied in the things of the world? You know, we look at people out there tonight, and they are looking to alcohol, and they're looking to drugs, and they're looking for mindless binge watching of television, or they are scrolling mindlessly through Facebook or Twitter or these things. And people are just mindless out there because they don't want to think, because they've found that this world doesn't satisfy. They are trying to forget about the things of this world, forget about the world, and to get themselves occupied in something. Why is that? Because you're a sinner in the sight of a holy God. Remember what the Lord said to the Samaritan woman. He said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." And how many have found that? It's only the Lord Jesus Christ will satisfy. He said again in verse 35 of John 6, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." You find real satisfaction. You find joy. You find life, and life more abundantly. And you find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the wilderness is a place of want. Out there in the wilderness of this world, there's nothing to bring you happiness. Herman Bavinck, the theologian, said, "God and God alone is man's highest good. God is the source and sustainer of all good. He and he alone, the abundant fountain of all goods. Dear friend, outside of him, really at the end of the day, there is no good. So the wilderness is a place of wandering, a place of want. And then something else about the wilderness is a place of wailing. You remember the story of Elijah when he fled from Jezebel. And you remember how that Elijah had overcome by the power of God the prophets of Baal on the mountain there. And you remember how that he sits down under a juniper tree in the wilderness and he wept and he asked God that he might die. How often the wilderness of sin has brought misery, brought sorrow. The booze has brought a ruined life. The drunkard has broken his family, broken his mother's heart maybe. A wife that weeps, there is broken family, a broken home, a broken life, a ruined marriage. Is that what sin brings? Of course it does. We read in Genesis 3 and 16, when man entered into sin, the Lord said to the woman, to Eve, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception and sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children. And in verse 17 he says to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Where's the sorrow in this world? It comes from sin. It comes from this wilderness that we're in. And then something else about the wilderness. It's a place of wickedness. It's associated with the devil. Remember when the Lord was tempted, he went into the wilderness and there was tempted of the devil. It seems to be a place that is associated with the devil. The wilderness. And you remember the man who was possessed with a legion of demons. He was out in the tombs, out in the wilderness, outside of the city, there in the wilderness, and there he was tormented day and night. Dear friend, the devil wants to keep you in the place of wickedness. He wants to keep you in the place of wailing. He wants to keep you in the place of want. But I'm glad that the Savior, like he did to the man of Gadara, he's able to set you free. He's able to bring you blessing. He's able to bring you satisfaction. So I want you to see the origination of this woman. She's in the wilderness. But then I want you to see the destination of this woman. She's coming out of the wilderness. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The one who is our beloved is bringing her up out of the wilderness. She's not going to stay in the wilderness of want and wailing. She's not going to stay in that place of wickedness. She's been brought out of the wilderness. And I'm glad tonight that I'm able to proclaim one who can bring you out of the wilderness, is able to lift you out of that place. And thank God here we have the woman and her beloved, and they're traveling the road, and it's an upward road, and it is bringing her to home and a blessing. And it implies this fact that she's brought out of the wilderness, that she's been rescued. The fact that she's leaning upon her beloved would suggest that there's a little bit of exhaustion there, that there's tiredness there, that she's leaning upon her beloved. And dear friend, here is the story of this wonderful picture. She sought her beloved. You think of the whole of the book of Solomon, or Song of Solomon, and it fits in with the fact that here was this bride. And you remember, if you know the story of the book of Song of Solomon, the beloved, the bridegroom had gone to seek her. He'd knocked at her door, and she had been too lazy to get out of bed. She said, I have put off my shoes, I have laid down for the night, and I'm not going to go to the door. And remember how that the beloved left, and she then considered what she'd done, and she realized what she'd done, and she went out to find her beloved, but she couldn't find him. And in the town in Jerusalem, she's waylaid by the watchmen and by the men of the city, and they, as it were, beat her up. It says in chapter 5 and verse 7, the watchmen that went about the city found me, they smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. And there she is, and because she has lost her beloved, she's in danger and she's in distress. But I want you to see that at the end, the beloved and her are brought together again. The beloved finds her, and they're brought into this wonderful relationship again. And now she's been brought out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. And I want you to see that here she is, and she's leaning upon her beloved. Dear friend, isn't that a wonderful picture of faith? Leaning upon her beloved. I'm glad of the one who was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And you think of the beloved here. He's gone down into the wilderness to get his beloved. He's gone down into the wilderness. They're both coming out of the wilderness. And my Saviour left the realms of glory and came into the wilderness of this world and to die on the cross. And he came to get us. He came not only to reach down, but to lift us up and to bring us out of that place and to save us by his grace. And it's only he that can bring us out. He's the only one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. But he actually comes to rescue us. He actually came down. And here is the demonstration of his love. Oh, what love, what wondrous love. Herein the Bible says his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. So she is rescued. But this picture of her coming out of the wilderness also gives the picture of her being enriched. Because where are they going to? Well, they're coming out of the wilderness. But where is she going to? Well, if you look here at the context, you will see that she's going home. It says, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth and bare thee. So it seems here that she's going home. She's going home to the place where she was born. She's going home. Now, there are two places in the book of Song of Solomon where the question is asked, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Now turn back to chapter 3 and verse 6, and there you have the other one of these questions. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? And in chapter 3 verse 6 it says, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchantman? And we think then goes on about the bed of Solomon, about King Solomon, and about the silver and gold and so on. And here, the one has been brought out of the wilderness and she's going to the palace. She's going to King Solomon. She's going to riches. Now I think that you can take all those pictures together and you think of the one coming out of the wilderness. She's going home. She's going to palace. She's going to riches. She's going to her beloved. That's the greatest thing of all. She's going to her beloved. She's going home with him. She's going to be with him. And there you have the wonderful picture of what the Lord Jesus does for his people. We are going home. We're going home to glory. And we're going to a palace. The Lord said, this wonderful promise, maybe one of the wonderful promises, most wonderful promises in the Bible. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm glad today that we are being enriched and we are going to a palace that is built of gold, and we're going to that place where we'll be with Christ forever and forever. Dear friend, we are his beloved. And if we're saved tonight, we are enriched. We're enriched in this world. He was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. We have been redeemed and we're brought to riches. Oh, dear friend, what riches there are in Christ. What glories there are in Christ. And the best thing is that throughout eternity, we'll be with the beloved. We'll be with him. And thank God tonight that you can know his riches. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus said none that would enter his kingdom except those that are born again of the Spirit of God. Is the Lord Jesus Christ your personal Savior? Is he your Lord tonight? Are you washed in the precious blood? The Lord said in John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But thank God that the bride is coming out of the wilderness. We're coming up. We're going up. Are you on the road of ascent tonight? Are you going on the road that leads to glory? I'm glad tonight of this woman, her origination. But look at her destination. She's going up. She's going up to home. She's going up to a palace. She's going up to her beloved. Are you going up? Or on the road that leads to home? But then one more thing that I want you to see tonight, and that is her position. We've looked at her origination. We've looked at her destination. But look at her position. As she's going up, look at her here. Where is she? Well, the Bible says that she's leaning on her beloved. And I want you to see that it is her beloved. This is a personal relationship. She can say, he is my beloved. My beloved is mine, and I am his. She can say, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. There is that personal relationship. They are lovers. They love one another. Can you put forth the finger of faith tonight and touch the hem of his garment and say, this is my beloved, and this is my friend? There is no apprehension here. This is her beloved. But I want you to see the position here. She's leaning upon her beloved. And of course that speaks of support. The beloved is supporting her as she comes out of the wilderness. And of course the first act of any Christian is to lean. His whole weight, his whole sin, or her whole sin weight is laid upon Christ. And the sinner doesn't carry his own burden. But that burden has to be laid upon the Lord Jesus, the substitute's shoulder. He bears the burden. He is the one that bears us up. And I want you to see that the fact that the bride leans upon her beloved testifies to the fact that she has no strength. She has no stamina. She's not going to get out of the wilderness on her own. There's no way. The wilderness has paid its toll upon her. That place of want and deprivation has paid its toll. She's not going to get out of there on her own. She has to lean upon her beloved. And the only way to get out of the wilderness is to lean on Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Is that where you're leaning? In Romans 5:6 it says, but when we are yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He's the way to blessing. We've got to lean upon him. And I want you to see the way that the bride leans. Now some people think, well, and even maybe sometimes quote the verse to say, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness leaning upon the arm of her beloved? But there's no mention about upon the arm. Where is she leaning? She's leaning her all upon him all. She is leaning against his breast. She's not just leaning on his arm. She is really leaning upon him. She's leaning upon his shoulder. She's leaning upon him wholly. She's leaning upon him fully. Here is her beloved, and she is just leaning upon him. And he is bringing her along, and it's his strength that she is depending upon. We depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't 3/4 lean upon him, or half lean upon him, or even 99% lean upon him. We wholly lean upon him by faith. It is him that brings us up. There's none else can help you. You've got to lean wholly upon him. There's no point in you bringing your religion. There's no point bringing your good works. You've got to lean wholly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Jude, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He bears us up. He bears us up. It's a posture of leading. And then it is a posture of loving. Because the picture of the bride leaning upon her beloved is a posture of love. You see a couple and the girl is resting upon the shoulder of the man. It is the way that lovers treat each other. And here she is and she's leaning. She's getting as close to her beloved as she can possibly be. And of course that's why lovers do that. They want to be as close to each other as they possibly can be. And we think of this picture of love and we recognize that we love him because he first loved us. And dear, and you know why we can lean upon him? We can lean upon him because he's near. He's near. He's not afar off tonight. He's near. He is there. And if you will just lean upon him by faith, he is near. And dear friend, all you have to do is lay your head, lay your heart upon him tonight. And he's not far off, he's near. He's here in this meeting. If you'll come to him. The writer expressed it well. He said, there's a wonder of sunset at evening. The wonder of sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, what a wonderful thing tonight that the God of love is willing to bring us out of the wilderness of this world and out of the wilderness of sin and want and sorrow. And thank God that we can go up leaning upon him. I wonder tonight, will you lean upon the beloved? Will you lean upon the one who's able to bring you, the only one who can support you, the only one who can give you the strength that is needed to come out of the wilderness of sin and want and sorrow? Will you lean upon him tonight? Draw near to him. Seek his salvation and his mercy. And thank God tonight you can be saved and saved for all eternity. Let's just bow, please, in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word tonight. We thank thee for this wonderful picture of the bride coming out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. And our God, we pray that we might learn to lean tonight, learning to lean on Jesus. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst enable us by faith to venture all upon him. And we thank thee that when our all we venture upon the precious blood, then the Holy Spirit enters, and I am born of God. So gracious God, write thy word upon our hearts. Draw near to our souls, we pray. And O God, that men and women may seek the Lord while he is to be found and call upon him while he is near. Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen.